Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to dLocal's fourth quarter 2010 results conference call. Today we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of dLocal. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participants need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risk, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of dLocal and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now I will turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of dLocal. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin.
Okay, thanks. Welcome everyone to this conference call. We, as usual, have an agenda that's shown in page three. We have a four-point agenda that we're going to review in the financial results of the fourth quarter of 2010. Then we'll go over each business segment, analyzing the sales, volume, and prices. We will look a little bit about the outlook for the coming months in the different markets. And then we'll have a brief talk about the fourth quarters and subsequent events. In page number four, the highlights of this quarter. We had, during this last quarter of 2010, revenues of $1 billion. That's 2% over the third quarter of 2010. The total revenues for the whole year of 2010 were $3.8 billion. That is about 20% over the total of 2009. EBITDA came up to be $420 million. That's 8% over the third quarter. Again, total EBITDA for the year was around $1.4 billion. Net income, $260 million, 30% over the last quarter, and the total for the year, $695 million. Net financial debt stood as a total of $2.4 billion. That is 5% less than what the debt was at the end of the September 2010. Capex for the year, $300 million. That's 300% over the third quarter of 2010. Total capex for the year was about $670 million. In the following slides, we will be going over the details of these numbers. In page number five, we have a summary of the financial statements. We will review the income statement later on, so I won't spend time over that. In terms of cash flow, in the right side of the slide, we can see that we have operating activities cash flow of $540 million. That's 165% more than last quarter. We had higher capex, as I mentioned before, $284 million compared with $70 million last quarter. And financial activities was a negative of $112 million. Negative number compared with the positive of almost $400 million of third quarter that was basically impacted by the bonds that we issued during September of 2010. In terms of assets, at the end of December, we had a total cash of $1 billion. That is 17% more than the end of September. Inventories were more or less stable at about $700 million. And the rest, the total assets, came out to be $12.5 billion, that is 2% more than in September. In terms of our liabilities, short-term financial debt, more or less stable at $540 million, which represents basically mainly the bonds that we have to pay in September 2011, of about $380 million. Long-term financial debt, stable at $2.9 billion, and shareholders' equity, $6.7 billion, that is 3% more than September 2010. Next slide, we have more detail of the income statement. We can see there the revenues of $1 billion, that is 2% more than last quarter. Basically, we had a mix of higher volumes in panels, some timber on a pulp of 27%, 18%, and 5%, but with lower prices, especially in panels and some timber, 18% and 15% less, and only a 4% reduction in the average price of pulp. Cost of sales went up 7%, basically because of an increase in lumber cost and maintenance cost. In the line of other operating income, we can see an increase of $118 million. That is basically caused by $100 million attributed to insurance claims related to the February 27, 2010 earthquake. We received about $180 million of payments of claims of insurance during that quarter, and $100 million more is attributable to business interruption that goes directly to the income statement. Because of that, also EBITDA reached $420 million. That's an 8% higher than the previous quarter. As I told you, it was basically impacted by that $100 million of more operating income based on the insurance claims. In terms of net financial costs, we have a reduction of 37% from $60 million to $37 million, basically because in the third quarter we had an impact of some derivatives that caused the financial cost to go up a little bit. Appreciation, 17% higher, and the stamp patch was reduced by 30% to $60 million. In terms of slide number 7, we have a detail of the cash flow statement. Here we can see again the impact of the collection of the $185 million of the insurance claims that were part of account receivable. So we can see an increase of 25% in collection of accounts receivable from $973 million in the third quarter to $1.2 billion. We have also the collection of insurance claims is in the following line. And then payments to suppliers and personnel is stable at $860 million. Capital expenditures up to $300 million, basically by the repairments caused by the earthquake in the line 2 of Arauco and some other land acquisitions. And then in the financial activities section, we can see the impact that had in the third quarter, the issuance of bonds, and also the repayment of the bond that was due on September 2010. No major financial activities during the fourth quarter, rather the issuance and payments of some short-term debt. The end of the year cash position is $1 billion. In slide 8, we can see a summary of our debt profile, and basically our net financial debt went down 5% to $2.4 billion, basically because of the increasing cash to $1 billion, and that helped us reduce our net cash position. Our financial debt scale hasn't changed a lot since last quarter, and is, as usual, very well balanced in the long term. The possible financing for Montes del Plata project, we think that will occur at the end of the first half of 2011. But since we're not going to consolidate that joint venture, it will not appear in our balance statement. Slide number 9, we have a summary of our key financial ratios, and worth mentioning here the good EBITDA margin for the fourth quarter that was almost 40% compared with 37.4% for the third quarter. As an average of the year, we have 37.1, much higher than the 23.4% of EBITDA margin that we got on 2009. That's an error on that column, should say, fiscal year 2009. In terms of leverage, it's worth mentioning also the net financial debt to EBITDA that now is in 1.4 times as the fourth quarter of 2010, and as an average of fiscal year 2010, it is 1.7. That is a lot lower than the 3.7 times that we got during 2009. The other ratios, as net financial debt to total capitalization, are also down to 23.4%. Okay, slide number 11. Let's talk a little bit about the pulp division. We saw a 1.2% increase in sales that was obtained by an increase in volume of 5.4%, but with a decrease in price of 4%. Okay. At the end of the quarter, we saw that pulp inventories increased a little bit when compared to the previous quarter, reaching 25 days of supply. We will talk a little bit more about this in doing the outlook segment. But China started to increase its long fiber prices, explained basically by stronger demand. And Europe showed lower demand for pulp as a consequence of decrease in paper producers' margins. Our pulp production, as you can see there, was 608,000 tons for the fourth quarter. Basically, the decrease is explained by normal maintenance that our Valdivia mill has to do during the quarter. In terms of year over year, net sales are 12% up, basically explained by a 23% increase in price, counterbalanced by a 9% decrease in volume, of course, explained by the effects of the earthquake and in our production facilities. In slide number 12, our panel division sales increased by 4% during this quarter compared to the last one, and this, as I told before, is explained by a high increase in volume of 27%, counterbalanced by an 18% decrease in price. Year over year, net sales are 20% up, with increases in price and volume. In terms of the explanation for the decrease in price, basically what we saw here was that we had, during the first half of the year, just after the earthquake, a strong demand from our distributors because of the risk of not having the supply because of effects in our facilities because of the earthquake. And that explains the high inventories they got during the middle of the year, and then they decreased their buying, and so prices went down during the rest of the year. That's more or less explanation that we can say for the panel decreases in prices, and that's also can be explained for the same for the sawn timber division. In terms of production, the panel production stood more or less stable at about 770,000 cubic meters for the last quarter of the year. In terms of sawn timber, again, we see here sales in dollar terms stable, but with 15% price reduction, counterbalanced by an 18% increase in volume. If you compare a year ago, of course, we are 30% up with increases in volume and in prices. Again, here the explanation is that we are right now in the process of reduction of inventories in the distribution channel that was overloaded by a higher sales because of after the earthquake. In terms of production, also we can see that production was 650,000 cubic meters, a little bit less than the third quarter, but in line with the second quarter of 2010. In slide number 15, we can talk a little bit about the outlook for the pulp market. What we are seeing right now is that the market is strong, especially for softwood. We obtain a $40 increase in prices for China during March. Now the price stands up at around $880 per ton net in China. Prices for hardwood are stable compared with the last month. Right now, we are seeing a high spread between softwood and hardwood. It's around $130. Inventories are still low compared with history. It's about 27 days for softwood. Hardwood is a little bit higher. We have seen imports from China strong, basically because new capacity in paper production that is consuming more virgin fiber. There's not more paper consumption, but this increase in capacity of paper is absorbing more pulp, especially from virgin fibers. We are quite optimistic for the rest of the, for at least the first semester. We are seeing that now we are entering in the spring maintenance period, and that should reduce a little bit the supply, especially coming from Canada. That we think that they're going to have a little bit more of downtime, especially because of the green transformation program that they had last year. So they need to implement those new capacities in terms of energy production that they promised for getting their subsidies in Canada. The only problem that we could see is that, of course, with this increase in prices of pulp, the margins for paper producers have been tightening, and that could produce a problem for the paper producers, especially that are not integrated, and that could press something the financial statement and could produce some problems. But anyway, as a summary, we feel that the market is strong, and we are optimistic. Basically, also in terms that we are now at 100% capacity after starting again the line 2 of Arauco at the end of February. As you can see in this slide, inventory levels are now at 25 days out of December, 27 days out of March, and the HKP is about 40 days of inventories. In terms of the sawn timber market, in page 16, we expect that we could have some recovery in all markets. We have had some period of lower demand and average prices, but we think that could improve as inventory levels are reduced in the distribution chain. We are also usually expecting to have a recovery in the demand for remanufactured products and in some timber for the following month. As you can see in that graph showing the US housing starts on permit, we are still in a very low level of housing starts. In December was 530,000 units per year. It's a slight increase, but we are still in the very low levels, and we don't see that's going to change a lot in the near future. In terms of panels, in page 17, the market is still very active in Latin America, in MDF and PVO, particle board sales, as usual by Brazil, but we have seen lower prices than the other quarters. In Europe, there's a slower demand for plywood, basically explained by the uncertainty and the volatility of the economy at this stage. And in the USA, the panel market has begun to show some sign of reactivation, and we have seen also some increases in demand for plywood and MDF moldings. Okay, so for the fourth quarter and subsequent events, in page 19, as I told before, on February 1st, Arauco 2 pulp mill resumed its productive activities. It was the only mill that was still idle because of the works that had to be done in the recovery boiler. This is a mill of 500,000 tons of pulp, and it started producing at the first day of February, and now it's full operational. So now we have 100% of our capacity after the earthquake. In page 20, on January 18, the Monte de Plata board approved the construction of the pulp mill. This is investment of around $2 billion total. It considers, as you remember, a 1.3 million ton per year eucalyptus pulp mill, an energy plant, and a port terminal. We are planning to have a financial target of 60% of assets by debt financing from different sources, basically multilaterals and ECAs, and the rest through sponsored equity contributions. Also during February, the main EPC contract was awarded to Andritz for the construction of a pulp mill and an energy plant, and we think that this mill should be operational in the second quarter of 2013. All the environmental permits and the construction permits are already obtained, and we think that we could start some civil works, basically probably during May. Okay, that's all I had for the slides, and I would like to open for Q&A. Thanks.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. Your first question comes from the line of Carlos de Alba with Morgan Stanley.
Yes, good morning. I have three questions. First one is, in the presentation you mentioned that pulp prices for short fiber are starting to increase as the market is strengthening. Could you remind us how much or at what price are you now selling hardwood in China in March, and if you were able to increase the prices in March? My second question has to do with your cost of equity. If you can remind us what is the cost of equity that you estimate for Arauco, and also on how it compares to the ROE, which was 10.2% in 2009 and 4.8% in 2010, and if it was sort of below the cost of equity, what can be done to make sure that the ROE increases above the cost of equity? And my final question has to do with the potential benefit, if you see any, of the reconstruction work in Japan, given that you are in the Pacific coast and you may be able to sell to the market in an effort to help the reconstruction. Thank you very much.
Okay. First, regarding the hardwood price, we are now selling of around $750 per ton in China for hardwood, and that price was stable from last month. As you know, there is more hardwood supply than softwood supply at this moment, so that's why the spread is so high. So the scarcity of new supply coming to the market in the coming years in softwood has put pressure in the price for softwood. But anyway, we think that there's some possibility of increasing prices for hardwood, but we still don't know. It has to be evaluated every month, and taking into account how demand is doing, the downtime of some mills, and also how our clients are doing. But from the time being, we're selling at about 750 compared with 880, more or less, that we sell our software. In terms of the cost of equity, I mean, we have our calculations, but of course they are more confidential, and as you know, it's not easy to do that. It depends a lot of your assumptions of data and all that financial things. So we prefer not to talk about what is our cost of equity in our analysis. But anyway, the cost of equity for fiscal year 2009 was 5%. Of course, that's low, and that's basically due to the low income that we got during 2009. It was about $300 million, which is quite low for the total asset that we had, but that was impacted by the low prices of that year. In fiscal year 2010, we got 10%, but we had the earthquake, so that impacted in our capacity of selling. And we remember that we haven't received all the benefits from the insurance claims. We will possibly receive those part of those during 2011, so it will impact the return and the net income of this year, but should be awarded to 2010 because we lost the production at that time. And anyway, the fourth quarter, we were running at a return on equity on 15%, which is, of course, much better than the other percentages. Regarding your third question and the potential benefits from the reconstruction effort in Japan, we still have to wait a little bit to see what happens. In terms of our sales distribution to Japan, our main product that goes there is sawn timber. About 6% of our total sales go there, and that should be a product that should have an impact in reconstruction efforts. So we should see in the future more demand coming from that market for sawn timber. But we don't know yet. I mean, it has been very soon, the earthquake. We need to know what's going to happen there and what level the operations over there are problematic. In terms of the other products, pulp is less than 1% of our sales there and shouldn't have any impact in the demand for pulp for the reconstruction efforts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Roy Yakulik with Bank of America.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm actually new to the company, so I have a couple of questions for you. Can you tell me, with respect to the parent Colpack, how much of the revenues that Arauco contributes? And then I'm just, you know, looking at all the kind of the pulp and paper companies generally in Latin America, I see everybody has pretty firm forecasts for pulp prices. And I noticed that RISI, which I understand is normally, you know, kind of bearish or pessimistic, has lower forecasts for the year. But if the outlook is so firm, I'm confused as to why, you know, stock prices like for Fibria, for Suzano, for, you know, Empresa CMPC and for Copec are down so significantly more than the market since November. And to me, that implies that the market perceives pulp prices will decline. So I don't know if you could give me some insight as to that and just, you know, tell me how much of revenues that Arauco contributes to Copec.
Okay. Yes, of course. I mean, and in terms of net income and EBITDA and assets, we think that Arauco should be about 75% of the total net income and EBITDA of Copec. Of course, it depends on the year and the price of pulp, but on average, I think that's more or less accurate. In terms of sales, of course, Copec is much higher because they sell a lot of oil. And that has a very low margin, so it's not very comparable. But you can say that in terms of the total EBITDA, we should be between 70% and 80% depending on the year. In terms of the estimates of price, yes, of course there are different estimates, and BC, I mean, could be one of the pessimistic. We feel that we are on the optimistic side. Prices have held very well from last year. So we think this should be a good year. Also, we're going to have some revenue coming from the insurance claims. But in terms of equity prices, I mean, I cannot say anything. Why stocks are up or down, probably it's more an effect of being the whole stock market in Chile going down rather than the perspective for the company. But I'm not in a position to comment about if prices for the Copec are low or high.
Okay. Well, just I guess my confusion is in Brazil, since early November, the Bovespa is down about 6%, and Fibria is down 25%, Suzano 15%. And since the same time, the Chilean stock market is down about 8%, and both, well, CMPC and Copec are down about 23%. So that's, I guess that causes me to kind of question the position of the companies that pulp prices are going to remain so firm. That's just my only comment. Thank you.
Okay.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please hold while we poll for questions. Your next question comes from the line of Fernanda Beltrateo with RISI.
I would like just to confirm the CAPEX for this year and also the status of the Valdivia pulp mill. I'm not sure if the mill is idle because of the lack of water. Could you comment a little bit about it?
Okay, yes. First of all, the CAPEX for this year, we are thinking that should be in the range of between $700 and $800 million.
Okay.
The main project that we have here is we have a MDP mill in Teno, in Chile, that could absorb about probably $100 million in CAPEX. And then we have the normal maintenance CAPEX that includes plantations that could be $400 or $450 million that we do every year. And then we have, including that CAPEX, but it probably is not a CAPEX formally, but it's the equity contributions that we should make to the Monte de Plata project in Uruguay. We are assuming that this year we could be putting about $200 million. that corresponds to the 40% of investment. That's not a firm amount yet because of the timing of the capex in Uruguay, but that's how we formed that $750 million. In terms of the Valdivia mill, yes, the mill is still stopped. Last week we had to stop because of the decrease in the river. We have still stopped, and we are waiting for the river to increment the flow. We think that's going to come soon. It has already started to rain in Valdivia, so we think that soon we could be starting operations again. This happens because we have a restriction over the discharge in the river. Once the flow of the river goes below 6 cubic meters per second, so we are complying with the norm here, but we are ready to start production again as soon as the river increments the flow. And in the Valdivia region, it rains a lot during the year, and now we are entering into the fall, so we should have rains very soon.
Okay, but do you have an idea about production losses with that stoppage?
That mill has a 550,000 ton capacity, and you can do the arithmetic in terms of the daily production. But we can increase a little bit the production during the year in order to save some of the production that will be lost because of this week or week and a half that we could be stopped. So we don't think it's going to be material at the end of the year.
Okay. And this stoppage won't affect the client, which is usually supplied by these plants, I suppose.
No. I mean, the reduction in production is very low, and we have stock in our distribution chain, so we're not going to stop the selling of pulp.
Okay. Thank you.
Once again, if you do wish to pose a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. Please hold again while we poll for questions. Your next question comes from the line of Alejandro Luciano with Credit Suisse.
Hi, I just have a quick question related to the Montes de Plata. I was wondering if you can disclose your CapEx schedule. How much I know you said you expect to make $200 million in equity contributions. I was wondering how much you expected to spend in 2012 and, I guess, if anything, in 2013. Thank you.
Well, yes. I mean, at this moment, we don't have a exact number, but you can say that the most of the capex will happen in 2012, and some of the capex in 2011, of course. But we are thinking here $2 billion, and I think that probably $900 million could happen in year 2012. And the rest in 2011, basically, and a little bit in 2013. So we don't have really the exact capex because we just signed the main EPC contract, but we have to sign a lot of other construction contracts and small contracts. So then we will have the definite cash flow. But in terms of budgeting, we just suppose that we need to put half of the equity contribution this year and half of the equity contribution 2012, which is a little bit conservative in terms of the that we still have some cash flows going on 2013. We expect to close the financing of the project probably in June or July. So at that moment, we will rebalance the equity and debt structure. Right now, we are putting some only equity initially of the advance payment that we have done to some of the suppliers.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Once again, if you do wish to pose a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. Please hold again while we poll for questions. Your next question comes from the line of Clem Fedoff with TIA.
Hi. Just a follow-up question on Montes de Plata. After the equity infusion, you said you'll be balancing. And project.
Hello? I didn't hear your question. Could you repeat it?
One sec. Sorry about that. Follow up on Montes del Plata. You, after the equity infusion, you said you will rebalance your capital ratio. Basically, are you going to use project loans or possibly do a bond issue?
No, what we are planning to do is to use multilaterals and ECA financing, but we are planning to do it with possibly with a guarantee from the parent company, so it will be more like a corporate finance rather than a project finance. As you can see, the level of equity to debt is higher, so we're planning to have probably 40% equity, 60% debt, so it's not so leveraged. And we're not planning to use bonds. For the equity part, we think we have enough cash and cash generation to do it without the need of financing in the coming years from the parent level.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Once again, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please hold again while we poll for questions. This concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello for any closing remarks.
Okay, thanks. Nothing more to say than if you have, as usual, any question, follow-up question, just send us an email to our investor relations department or give us a call. And we will host our next conference call probably for the first quarter of 2011, probably in the middays of May. Sorry. Thanks again, and have a nice day.
Thank you. This does conclude today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time, and have a nice day.